Good evening. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. I believe it's right at 5, and we'll go ahead and get started. This morning's message, I don't know if it was meant for anyone else or if it was just for me. And I spoke with Miss Christy today, and I said, wow, what a message this morning. I'm only thankful for one thing for sure, and that is that he didn't have any more tests. So, seemed like I might be going through about all of them, and I guess we all do at one time or another. But I was very thankful for the message this morning. And I pray the Lord just continue to work in some situations. And this song came to mind this morning as Brother Justin was bringing the message, and that is this: I'm glad to know that there's an unseen hand. Though we don't always see him working, we know that he is. And I want to try tonight, if I can, with the help of my musician helping me through here, and we're going to try and go back and pull out an old song that says that there is an unseen hand to me.
I'm gonna reach that strength.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask him to be with us tonight. Brother Ceylon, would you lead us as we pray? If you will stand with me tonight, turn over to page number 139, page 139, and let's sing together At Calvary. Remember all the announcements from this morning. Remember our church yard sale coming up. That's October the 21st. October the 21st. Also, is it this coming Thursday that the ladies are getting together for their, no?
Next week.
Next week. Okay. Next week on Thursday. Be here at the church. All right. There'll be more announcements about that. Probably better so I don't get them wrong. We'll hear more about that in the days to come. But it is good to see you. We still have the children's home traveling, and now it seems that others are. And so others are going through some, going to be taking some trips this week. And Amanda had a class that she had to take care of today before she leaves out on Tuesday. So so just let's remember one another in prayer. Remember all the prayer requests, but it is great to see you in the house of the Lord. We've had some visitors this morning, and I'm very thankful for that. And we pray that they'll be back with us very soon. So let's ask the Lord to be with us again and ask God's blessing on the offering as well. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
Lord,
intended, but turn with me over to page number 120. Let's sing one more together about the victory we've got in Jesus. Amen.
Asked me to sing, and I told him, I said, I'm not sure what I want to do. And I was talking to Miss Catherine. Catherine and I were talking, and I actually sang this for her mom's memorial service that we had. And I love this song because it was one of my dad's favorite songs. It was also one of the first songs that I ever played for my dad. I played piano a long time before I ever played it in public. I just wouldn't do it. But this was one of the first songs that I ever played for my dad. And I love I love it because it talks about what we sang about a moment ago and what we just sang about in the last verse of Victory in Jesus, that one day we will, as Craig Edwards wrote in his song, when we get to heaven for the first time, we'll see Jesus even though we've already met. I love that line. I just love the line of that song. I asked him one night, I went, it's no way you came up with that on your own, buddy. You had to steal that from some. I love that line. But I love, there's a couple of stories about this hymn. The hymn title is My Savior, first of all. And it was written by the hymn writer who wrote most of the hymns that you'll find in any congregational hymnal, and that was Fanny Crosby. If you know Ms. Crosby, one, she never married. Two, she was born blind. She was blind all of her life. She never had the gift of sight, but in every song so far that I can find, and every hymn that I've looked at, there's always a reference that she writes in one of her verses to having sight. And there's a couple of stories about the origin of this hymn. One is that it was that she wrote it after a particular preacher in a camp meeting one night told her that how very tragic it was that she wouldn't be able to see, that she's never, that she was blind. And the story says that Ms. Crosby was like, no, there's no tragedy in that because the very first thing that I'll ever see is the face of my Savior. But the other story, which is the one that I go with that I've heard most of my life, is that Ms. Crosby lived in New York, and right at the end of the 19th century, end of the last few years of the 19th century, there were a lot of preachers, and they literally had street preachers, people who would literally stand on a soap box, a crate that was made for transporting soap. And that's where we get the expression, don't get on your soapbox about this. But they would. They would stand on a corner. They would preach. And crowds would gather. And they'd have, you know, like a hat or something out there to take up a collection. Well, Miss Crosby one day was walking with her companion, her friend, her guide. And she heard a lot of commotion. She heard the shouting from the crowd responding to the preacher. And she asked her companion, what's going on? And the companion told her, said, there's a preacher on the corner. And Ms. Crosby said, take me closer, I want to hear. And the man was, just like as you find even in today, the man was proclaiming himself to be Christ, the returned Christ. And Ms. Crosby was like, no. And so after it was over, after he was done, she sat and she listened. After it was done, she looked at her companion and she said, take me to him. And so Ms. Crosby's companion took her up to him. And she looked at the man. She pointed her face in his direction. And she asked him, who are you? And he said, well, I am Jesus Christ returned to earth. And Ms. Crosby said, give me your hand. And the man looked at her and said, well, give me your hand. And he put his hand out like that. And Ms. Crosby took her hands. And she ran them across his. And she said, oh, no, sir. No, sir. You're not my Jesus. Because I'll know my Jesus by the print of the nail in his hand. And she went back that afternoon, and in a matter of moments, had written this song. And I just love the message of it. And the last verse is generally the verse that she makes a reference to sight. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She makes, in the third verse of that song, she makes a reference to sight. And in the last verse of this song, she does the very same thing. But I love this song. And again, every time I play it or sing it, I always think of how my dad loved it. And it's a wonderful thing to know as a Christian, isn't it? That one day not only will we see our Savior, first of all, but we'll be reunited with those who have gone before. When my life's work has ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, for his smile will be the first to welcome me. And I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know. And through the gates of that city, in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears shall ever fall. Through the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight, but I long to see my Savior first of all. And I shall know, I shall know and redeemed by his side, I shall stand, I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his
hand. Galatians chapter number 5 tonight. Appreciate the good music this evening. And enjoyed every one of those, as I enjoy all the songs here. I remember hearing The Unseen Hand, Brother Allen, when I first got saved, and being sung over at Ford Road. And I just could not get over that song. And don't want to get over that song. What a blessing. We're not going to be too long tonight, but I say that, I may go an hour. So if I leave it alone, it'll be exactly what it needs to be. But no, we're not intending to be too long tonight, but we do have something we want to share. Let's continue to remember our sick people. We got quite a few, and heard of a few more gotten sick coming into the church tonight, and they were requesting prayer. And so this cold sickness is going around, and so let's remember everyone on that. All right, Galatians chapter number 5. I want to read two verses. That's verse number 22. Verse number 23. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer. Then we'll read these two verses and mention the word I want to talk about tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the song service. Thank you for the heart that was put into that. Lord, we certainly felt it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Be with us in the next few moments. Pray, Lord, that we would properly discuss and just share the subject matter we're wanting to discuss and share. And I just pray that we would be encouraged, challenged, and changed by the time that we leave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. That's going to be our verses tonight. And our text verse is going to be verse number 22. And I want you to notice the word gentleness. Gentleness. I want to talk about the word gentleness tonight. We all tonight want people to be understanding of us, don't we? We want people to be nice. We want people to be kind. We want people to be gentle. I like to be known as, when everything's said and done, the gentle giant. If I could, I want to be a gentleman. where the word comes from. And so we all want people to be gentle toward us. What is gentleness? The word gentleness is the quality of being kind or tender. It's strength under control, much like the word meek or meekness. It's a calm temper of mind, not easily provoked. That's what I want to strive for, is to just be calm, have this disposition of a controlled mind, not easily provoked. Someone comes to me with a situation, I don't want to fly off the handle and get upset, but I want to be gentle about it. I want to be approachable. You have a problem, you have a concern, something you want to talk about. I want you to be able to say, well, I can go to Brother Justin because he doesn't fly off the handle like a lot of people I know. I want to be gentle. I want to be tender-hearted and kind. The world's definition of strong people is that of those who are assertive, taking charge, proud, self-sufficient, self-reliant, and independent. The world looks upon people that are strong in that manner. They're go-getters, they're proud, self-sufficient, self-reliant, they're strong. But a gentle or meek person is opposite of that. Therefore, many people associate meekness and gentleness with weakness. Because someone isn't gung-ho and going after life by the horns, they have a more of a gentle approach, while the world says that that's a weak person. And that's just not true. A gentle or meek person is submissive. They're humble. It relies upon God and is dependent upon Him to provide. So when you meet someone or talk to someone and they're calm and they're reserved, don't get that misunderstood as being a weak or a person who is passive. But it's definitely a person who is trying to be meek and gentle according to the Bible. Now back to the word, the word we've defined, gentle. We said it meant also strength under control. But that word gentle or gentleness is used to describe a wild stallion that has been tamed or broken. Listen to this. The tamed stallion still has as much power as when it was wild, but it can now be controlled and made useful force master. That is gentleness. And so to be gentle doesn't mean we're being weak or wimpy. It means to have strength, but under control, being used of our master, Jesus. And so there's the word gentleness tonight. There's two people in the Bible that were called gentle. That is Jesus and Moses. Two gentle men. Neither were weak, as you know. For it was Jesus in the temple who cleared the temple and flipped over the tables of the money changers. And it was Moses who showed signs of strength. Of course, he went off the deep end. He actually killed someone and all the rest of it. But these two men were called gentle in the Bible. And neither were weak, as I just said. Both were strong men and masculine. Turn over, if you would, for a moment to Philippians chapter 4. Or you can just follow along on the screen. Philippians chapter 4. Listen to this in verse number 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And so we see there, it's through our gentleness people recognize Jesus in us. through gentleness. And so that is a good thing to keep in mind. By our gentleness, not by our pride, people see Jesus. By our meekness, not by our attitude that is harsh, but by our gentleness, people see Jesus in our lives. Listen to this. Gentleness is controlling your reactions to people. Again, gentleness is controlling your reactions to people. It's choosing your response rather than reacting. That's what gentleness is. It is controlling your reactions. It's choosing your response rather than reacting. So you have already came up with a plan. You're going to wake up and go about your day. And if somebody is rude or unkind, you already predetermined how you're going to respond to that. You're going to respond with gentleness. And you're not going to react with harshness. That's the difference between being proactive in our Christianity versus being reactive in our Christianity. And so tonight, the question I want to ask is, how can we practice gentleness in our day? How can we practice gentleness? Well, we know ultimately that dying to self, allowing Jesus to live through us, will allow us to be gentle and to be gentle to others. We know that ultimately it is surrendering to Him and allowing Him to bear the fruits of the Spirit through us. But on a very practical level, how can we practice gentleness? Once we get gentleness through yielding to the Lord, how should we practice gentleness? I want to give you some things tonight on how to practice gentleness. Number one, the first way to practice gentleness is be understanding. Be understanding of others. Be understanding when you come in contact with people. We're in Philippians. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 2, verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. He's talking about being understanding of others. We come in contact with one another at least three times a week. And although we come into this place and we look at each other and everybody's smiling, that doesn't mean everything's okay. But we want to put our best foot forward. We want to come into God's house ready to worship and learn from His Word. And so we're to do that through being understanding of one another. Behind those smiles sometimes, people are going through the worst time in their lives. And so sometimes you may get a response from somebody that is offensive, or somebody may be harsh or quick in their speech to you. And the natural reaction would be, why'd you say that? Or, you shouldn't talk to me that way. So we need to be proactive and be gentle, and we practice gentleness by being understanding. We come in here. Some are smiling. Some may not be smiling. And so somebody says something we don't like, or says something offensive, be understanding. Practice gentleness. He tells us in these verses to have lowliness of mind and to esteem each other better than ourselves. Let us be understanding. So the question tonight is, are we rude or demanding? Are we rude or demanding? People also have good days and bad days, as well as we all do. It's not just you and it's not just me who has a good day here and there, a bad day here and there, but we all experience those things. And we can practice gentleness by being understanding. Number two, not only be understanding, but be accepting. Romans chapter number 15. Verse number 7, listen to this. Romans 15, verse 7. Wherefore, receive. Receive ye one another. Wherefore, accept ye one another. As Christ also received us to the glory of God. And so it tells us that we can practice gentleness by accepting one another, receiving one another. God puts up with us each day, and he puts up a lot, doesn't he? I know he does with me. He puts up with a lot, all my grunts and groans and all my alibis and all of my reasons why and can't do this, can't do that. God puts up with a lot from me. He puts up with a lot from all of us. And so because God puts up a lot with all of us, we need to put up a lot with all of us. Let us be gentle by being accepting. God puts up with our inconsistencies and our weaknesses. We should learn to put up with other shortcomings. Excuse me, with others and their shortcomings. God is gentle, and so we should be as well. Not being an enabler, of course. Not being an enabler. I'm speaking about being accepting of people. But I'm not talking about enabling people. Not being an enabler of bad ways or bad behavior, because sometimes that's the easy thing to do, is to be so accepting of one another. Oh, they're struggling, and oh, they're you know, having a hard time, and all of these things. I'm just going to accept them totally and everything they're going through, their bad ways, their bad behavior, and just, you know, put it out of my mind. We are to accept one another, but we're not to enable one another in that of bad ways or bad behavior. But we're to understand the struggle we're all going through. Accepting what God accepts of us, which is people. God knows we are people who are bent towards doing wrong. And understanding of our walk in this world and our warfare trying to do right. God understands that about us. That we are people who are bent toward doing wrong. He understands that. He understands we're in a world full of chaos and we're struggling and we're trying to navigate our way through. Because of that, he accepts us. He receives us. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And so the more we recognize God's grace towards us, the more graciousness or gracious we will be. So that's another way of practicing gentleness, is just being accepting. You see somebody that's struggling, and you see somebody that isn't coming to church as much as they should be coming to church, and the easy thing to do would be fly off the handle and say, "Hey, where you been? Why aren't you coming back?" Well, they may be facing a bear in their life. They may be facing something big in their life. And so we always got to be conscientious of being accepting towards people and their struggles, but not enablers. Be accepting, that's a way of showing gentleness. Be understanding, that's a way of showing gentleness. But then there's a third way that we could practice gentleness, and that is being tender or being tender-hearted. Listen to this. When someone disagrees with you, be tender without fussing, fighting, or fuming. That's the challenge, not just for you, but for me. One way to show gentleness is by being tender. Someone disagrees. Let us be, in reaction to that, tender toward them without fussing, fighting, or fuming. There's one truth about it tonight. We'll never be able to get along with everyone. Isn't that true? We try to live peaceably with all men. We try and we certainly endeavor to be at peace and get along with everyone, but we will not always get along with everyone. Some people tonight love to argue and quarrel. They thrive on it. They come to church, they go to the workplace, they're in the supermarket running into people they know, and they just thrive on arguing. Have you ever met someone in your life that you know that loves to argue and quarrel and debate and all of that kind of thing? I do. I know people. And the natural reaction to that is to defend myself, to stand my ground and pull out the big guns and let them have it. Pew, 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 pew. That's what the, you know, spiritual John Wayne. Who you talking to like that? What'd you say to me? You know, just letting them have it. But we're called to be gentle. And again, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's only something that can go through us and out of us by surrendering and yielding to the Holy Spirit. But be tender. Can't get along with everyone. But we ought to try and be tender-hearted. Some people like to argue and quarrel. Some people will go as far as contradicting what you say. You ever met someone who just tries to prove you wrong? They got you under a microscope. They are scanning you and examining you like they're trying to find wrong answers, like they're a teacher grading a test. They're looking for wrong answers, or they're looking for wrong things in your life. Some people will contradict what you say. Some people will devastate anyone or try to devastate anyone who disagrees with them. So the question is, what do you do with these kind of people? Again, this is under my third point, being tender, showing gentleness through tenderness. What do you do with these kind of people? There's three things you can do with these kind of people. Number one, you can retreat. Number two, you can attack. Or number three, there's tenderness. Now, this retreat is also a natural reaction. When someone disagrees with you, they try to find fault with you, they try to contradict you, one of the easy things to do would just be, you know what, whatever, and back away, and don't even say anything at all. The only problem with that is if you're in a relationship with someone, whether a friend or whatever it may be, type of relationship, if you just retreat, it can cause hidden cost in your relationship. Someone is harsh or brash towards you, and you say, you know what, I'm not arguing with them. I'm just backing up, I'm not saying nothing at all. And you are in a relationship with them, you will become bitter toward them. You will become angry toward them. You won't tell them you're angry. You won't tell them you're bitter. And it will just cause these hitting challenges in your relationship. So there's the retreat thing you can do. Just not even say nothing, back away, and let it strain the relationship. Or you can attack. You can tell them how you feel, put them in their place, throw your finger out there. Again, spiritual John Wayne. You can do all of those things. But then there's tenderness. Tenderness. And tenderness is God's design. You don't have to turn there. I'll give it to you. I already got my Bible marked. But in Proverbs 15:1, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. When two people are in an argument and they're fighting, they're pointing fingers, and they just... They're trying to, you know, argue the other one down, and this one's trying to argue that one down, and they're pushing buttons, and they're, you know, they're just choosing to dig up the past. It just stirs up more anger. So someone has to be spiritual enough to say or to express tenderness. And so that's the third option, is tenderness. Again, that's God's design. We're to express, or we're to have a soft answer whenever challenged in these situations. Tenderness disarms. You can be tender without surrender, What do you mean tender without surrender? Well, they give their opinion, but you can give your opinion tenderly and not walk away feeling like you've compromised your convictions because, you didn't get upset, you didn't get angry. No, give your opinion as they give their opinion, but do it tenderly. Anger doesn't have to be expressed in sharing back your convictions. And so we could retreat, attack, or we can be tender. So tenderness tonight is one way of showing gentleness or being gentle. Let me mention another one. Not only be tender, but be teachable. Being teachable is a way of expressing gentleness, being teachable. James chapter number 1. Listen to this. James chapter number 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to speak, slow to listen. That ain't what the Bible says, is it? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This tells us that we're to be quick listeners. We're to be teachable. Quick listeners, slow speakers, lose tempers. If we're quick to listen and slow to speak, there won't be any wrath. And so be teachable. That's one way we can show or exhibit gentleness. Gentle people are people with ears, not mouths. Think about it. Gentle people have ears and not mouths. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, is what the Bible says. The gentle and meek are teachable. Some of the wisest people I know have a teach me attitude and are willing to learn. Sometimes it's easy to get defensive, though, when somebody approaches you and says, hey, have you thought about doing this a little better? And, you know, being honest, I have wrestled with not being defensive. And I think it goes back to my early days of ministry. And it even maybe even go back to childhood and being in middle school and high school where my self-esteem was low and, you know, got into, was picked on even in school. And just, and so some of that with me at least has been carried over into adulthood. And again, I said early days in ministry, just starting out, you know, being corrected. And listen, I needed to learn and I still need to learn. So it's easy sometimes to get defensive, especially when you put in a lot of hard work. But one way of expressing gentleness is by being teachable, is by having ears and not so much a mouth. The carpenter needs a course in baking. The baker needs a course in carpentry. So the carpenter tries to bake a cake, and the baker says, you do it this way. He can't get mad at that because he's a carpenter. And the baker tries to build a house, and the carpenter says, hey, you need to do it this way. The baker can't get mad at the carpenter because he's a baker. And so the carpenter needs a course in baking. The baker needs a course in carpentry. And the Bible says, if we are gentle, we'll be teachable. So we see that there. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let us be quick listeners, slow speakers, so that we won't lose tempers. Be teachable. I'll give you one more, and then we're going to be through tonight. I mentioned the word proactive a moment ago, but another way of expressing gentleness or practicing gentleness is through being proactive. Proactive. Peter recalled in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. You can turn there or follow along on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, Peter recalled Jesus in his action while on trial before Pilate. We believe this is what Peter is talking about. 1 Peter 2, verse 23, Jesus was proactive and gentleness was seen in this. He said this, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And so what do we see in that? We see that Jesus was committed to the Father. He was proactive. Come what may, I'm going to be committed to my Father in redemption's plan. And so when he was standing before Pilate, it didn't shake him. When they were when they released Barabbas and took Jesus to be crucified, he was willing and he was submissive because he was proactive. He wasn't reactive. And so one way to be gentle or express gentleness is by being proactive. Think about how you will respond in any given situation before the situation comes. Jesus was proactive. Think about this. Jesus could have been reactive. He could have called all the angels down to intercede, standing before Pilate. He could have just spoke a word, snapped his finger, blinked an eye. Pilate would have fell straight back and died. He could have, you know, wiped out all of that crowd screaming, crucify, crucify. He had the power to do that. And he could have did that, but he wasn't reactive. He wasn't a reactive Savior. He was a proactive Savior. He was committed to his Father's plan. So, question is, when someone hurts you, are you proactive or reactive? Gentleness is the ability to handle hurt without retaliation. Gentleness is absorbing the blow. And of course, this is extremely hard to do tonight. It's easy preached, but hard to live. Absorbing the blow. Only by the fruit of the Spirit, only by the Spirit's empowerment, can we be gentle? Can we be proactive? Can we absorb the blows and the tongue lashings and handle these conflicts? Only by the Spirit's enablement can we do that. But keep in mind, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord as is at hand. We want people to see the Lord in our life, and we got to be gentle. Got to be gentle. Being proactive, again, is being gentle. It's planning ahead. It's being like Jesus. Romans 12:17, Romans 12:21 talks about render not evil for evil. It talks about overcoming evil with good. Being proactive is forgiveness. And so, again, one way to practice gentleness is by being proactive. If you're like me, you think your way through your day before the day comes. I've spent some time today thinking my way through tomorrow. I like to have a plan. I like to know what's next. I do better when things are planned. I do better when I think my way through the day. And so when I think my way through the day, I'm thinking about who I'm going to come in contact with at Lily's school, who I'm going to come in contact with at church. And when I'm thinking my way through the day and who I'm going to come in contact with, I know who I may have problems with and who I may not have problems with. And so it's right there I decide immediately how I'm going to respond to those people, whoever they are, who may potentially cause a problem. And I choose gentleness. I choose gentleness. I express gentleness. I want to be proactive. Let me mention this and we'll be through tonight. I jotted this down. If we say to someone, you made me mad, you are admitting they have power over your emotions. Think about this. Well, you made me mad. I can't believe you said that to me. You are admitting by being upset they have power over your emotions. No one can take that control from us. We have control over our own emotions. And if we lash out, we're admitting they have power over our emotions. But the truth of the matter is, no one can take that control from us. And so by reacting instead of being proactive, it gives our control away. And so my challenge is just be proactive. Think your way through your day. Decide in advance how you're going to respond to certain ones that you see. Don't give them power over you. Don't let them control your emotions. I'm preaching to me tonight. We shouldn't let any person or anything have control or power over us. So let's be proactive in that manner tonight. Let's be teachable. Let's be tender. Let's be accepting. Let's be understanding. Tonight, these were just ways of practicing gentleness. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for just a sit down at the table and talk kind of Sunday night. Sometimes these are the best Sunday nights. Sometimes these are the best kind of services, is the sit down and talk kind. Lord, I pray as we give an invitation that you will just move on hearts. If someone needs to come, let them come. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet.